Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Ephesians, part 3 of the gifts of the Spirit. Brief review. We've been talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. It has changed greatly from the law now into the age of the church. We're sealed. He dwells in us. He guides us. He enlightens us. And our responsibility is not to grieve Him, don't quench Him, be filled with Him, and walk in Him. Obviously, we should have quite a harmony with the Holy Spirit in our lives. And what a blessing that would be. Now we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. Every believer has gifts. We all have natural abilities, but they are not spiritual gifts. Now, anything we have has been given to us by God, but there is a difference between a natural ability and a spiritual gift. The spiritual gift, if you remember the list that we read, never mentioned athletics, things of that sort. They've all been something that we have that surely we could use our natural abilities, but they would be enhanced by the power of the Holy Spirit, by this gift to really be something for God. So just keep that in mind. When you look at the list, which we did a couple weeks ago, a natural ability within itself is not what we are studying. A spiritual gift is something you get when you trust Christ as your Savior. And it is a gift He gives you to minister and to bless other people. The best way to discover your spiritual gift is get busy. And if you think about it, spiritual gifts are to bless other people. So guess who's going to notice your spiritual gift? Other people. Now you will eventually, but don't be surprised when other people start to pick up. You have a real ability for that. And it's not just a natural ability, it is a God-given ability to truly help people in the Lord. Remember, a lot of unsaved people have a lot of natural ability. Okay? A spiritual gift is something that only Christians have. The gift must be exercised. Let's pick up here with 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. Did you notice? They're all spiritual. They're not a natural ability. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles. These are gifts also. Apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments. That's the ability to rule within the church. Diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? We're going to talk about this a little bit later, but the obvious answer is no. And remember, the reason why God had given sign gifts is to be able to verify the words of the messenger. We can go all the way back and see God giving those abilities all the way back to Moses, to Elijah, to Elisha, verifying the message. Because the message was so incredible, it had to be verified with signs and wonders. And we see that Hebrews 2:3. How shall we, born-again people, escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed, it was confirmed, and that's the whole point of a gift, unto us by them that heard them, God bearing witness also to verify the sign and confirm it with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. This is why we have the gifts. In sign gifts, they were to verify the message. Ready? You got a Holy Spirit. Yeah, right. No, watch. Oh, there's something about this guy. But once it's been established, there's no more need for the gift. And so it is that sign gifts are not for us for today. Well, let's pick up here the distribution of gifts. The Spirit gives gifts as the Holy Spirit sees fit. Now, He sees fit in the universal church around the world, but I do believe that the Holy Spirit gives gifts for the local church to be able to function. Therefore, there are different gifts around here. We're going to overlap on gifts. No one person has all the gifts, but the Holy Spirit has distributed as this church needs, as every church needs. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. There's a benefit to this gift. It's not something just for us to keep and go, oh good, this is mine. No, it's a manifestation. The Spirit is evidenced by these gifts that he's giving to people, and it's to bless each other. For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, and we already read this, and the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits and diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. There is one Holy Spirit, and he is unified, obviously, with God the Father. We're to be walking in harmony with each other. We're to be walking in harmony with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and he has given gifts so that we function together as a group. Therefore, it's very important that we exercise our gifts and use them where we can be used. God has given you purpose. Do you understand that? This is not a game. He gave you a gift to use in this ministry. Read verse 11 again. 1 Corinthians 12:11. But all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, dividing to every man severally. Apparently, everyone has more than one gift. If you don't know your gift, truly start to ask God to reveal it to you. How will you develop it if you don't know it? Right? If you're an employee and the boss never gives you a job description, you probably won't do a real good job. Get busy and start asking God, show me what is my gift. There's nothing wrong with knowing that. Right? So don't feel bad wanting to know your gift. It's an exciting thing. Or gifts, I should say. Since every believer, dividing to every man, talking into born-again people, the Spirit divides every man. Now, who's every man? A Christian. He says he divides to every man as he will. He does divide. I believe if you read that, he is saying, the moment of salvation. You got a gift. He sealed you. He's dwelling within you. And I believe he gave you your gifts there personally. But you have to develop it. Them, the gifts. No person has all the gifts. Some may have more than others, but no one has them all. And we saw that in 12:28 of 1 Corinthians through 30, that list of rhetorical questions. Are all workers of miracles? Are all apostles? Do we all have the gift of healing? The obvious answer is no. No. Quote, he wanted to conduct. His conducting style, however, was idiosyncratic. During soft passages, he crouched extremely low. For loud section, he'd often leap into the air, even shouting at the orchestra. His memory was poor. Once he forgot that he instructed the orchestra not to repeat a section of music. During the performance, when he went back to repeat that section, they went forward. So he stopped the piece, hollering, stop, wrong, stop, wait, wait. But he wanted to be the conductor. For his own piano concerto, he tried conducting from the piano. At one point, he jumped from the bench, bumping the candles off the piano. At another concert, he knocked over a choir boy. During one long, delicate passage, he jumped high to cue a loud entrance, but nothing happened because he had lost count and signaled the orchestra too soon. As his hearing worsened, musicians tried to ignore his conducting and get their cues from the first violinist. Finally, the musicians pled with him to go home and give up conducting, which he did. He was Ludwig von Beethoven. Not every man has every gift. He was extremely gifted in the ability to music, but he didn't have the ability to conduct. Now, those aren't spiritual gifts, but the point is made. No man can do everything. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. No believer is required to have a specific gift. There's not one gift that we all have as far as a spiritual gift. We all have a diversity of gifts, and there is a reason why. 1 Corinthians 12:15. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Of course it's not. 16, and if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? You see, the church at Corinth was arguing among themselves who had the best gifts, and I want this gift, and I want this, and I want to do this, and my gift's better. Paul is setting the record straight. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Therefore, 1 Corinthians 12:28, God has set some in the church. He put it in order according to his wisdom. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and the list goes on. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? No. We have a diversity, but we don't particularly have everybody has the same gifts. They will overlap because we're going to need a group of people who are able to go over here and do this, and we need a group of people who are going to be able to do this, and yet those same people will interact with other groups because they'll have a like gift. So it is God has given what he needs us to have as a local church to function. Chapter 12, verse 18 of 1 Corinthians, but now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Don't complain about your gift or lack of. Well, I want to be this. You be thankful for what God gave you. Imagine the confusion in a church if everyone decided what gifts they would have. 25 heads, 10 eyeballs, 7 ears, no feet, and who knows? That's why we accept what God has done. We have to trust that he has given us exactly what he wants us to do. Since God is the one that determines the distribution of gifts, we should not get our feelings hurt if we didn't get a position or particular ministry in the church. Just be thankful and ask God to use you where he intended. Everyone is necessary to the body. All right, ready? I want you right now to decide which finger you should cut off. You'd say, no, I need them all. That's how this church is. You're all necessary. No matter how humble you may think it is. How many of you want to cut off your little toe? You see the point. God gave them all. They're all necessary, even though some may seem so insignificant in comparison. They're all necessary. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Because we're a unified body, we are a local assembly, but the body of Christ. If you stub your toe, your whole body joins in. We're one. We need to function as one. And our spiritual gifts are to benefit others. Though the gifts are many, the Spirit who grants them is one. God has given diverse number of gifts to the church since the needs of the church community are broad and complex. The church needs instruction, exhortation, ministries of mercy, administration of its programs, encouragement and healing in times of illness, wise counsel in dark days, and many other things besides. So God has given to his people a wide diversity of empowerments and enablements, and each person should find his or her own area of giftedness and be happy with it. But this diversity ought not to result in schisms or quarrels, since all are gifted by the same Spirit who's indwelling them. God gives spiritual gifts to his people so they may be effective and enable for ministry. All Christians have spiritual gifts. These gifts are never given to believers as they might profit them or that they might somehow use the gifts for themselves. They are given, as the apostle says in 12:7 of 1 Corinthians, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's not for you, it's for everybody else. This means that all Christians are ministers. All Christians have tasks to perform in the service of the Lord in the church. No one is ever meant to merely be a receiver of ministry. All of God's people both give and receive ministry. Churches will never achieve the level of maturity that Christ means for them to have until all members are actively demonstrating their giftedness by engaging in the ministry which their gifts entail. When churches discover the importance of every member ministry, they will truly experience the body, the growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love. I love that. Everybody's necessary. And your gift is not for you, it's for me. And my gifts are not for me, they're for you. And on around this room. We have churches today that extremely emphasize sign gifts. Are they really for today? Well, you know my answer already from the previous studies. No, they're not. I want you to remember the simple outline of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, Paul is writing, talking about the proper place of spiritual gifts in the church because they were fighting each other. So chapter 12, he's setting the record straight about spiritual gifts. That's 12. 14, he talks more about the use and development and exercising of spiritual gifts. And in the middle of that, between 12 and 14 is the love chapter. Love is more important than gifts. We have to exercise gifts in love. Why, as a matter of fact, it's very interesting. In chapter 12, he's talking about the use of gifts. In 14, he's talking about the use of gifts. And in chapter 13, he talks about how some gifts are going to disappear. Okay? Gifts, gifts, some will disappear. Let us read chapter 13, verse 8. 1 Corinthians 13, 8, charity, which really is agape in the Greek. It is the highest order of love. It's not just the emotional feeling, gooey-gooey. Rather, it is a, we have charities today, and they're giving. A charity gives. The love that we ought to have for each other and for the lost is charity. They need the gospel. And we need to be giving our gift in charity. Charity never fails. Whether there be prophecies, now he's talking about spiritual gifts. Whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Now this is writing to a bunch of Christians that are arguing over the use of gifts. And I want the best gifts, and I want this gift, blah, blah, blah. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In other words, a knowledge, and you'll see where this is going, a knowledge of divine revelation. Let's keep going. We know in part. We prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. All right, let's look at it. Verse 9. We know in part. We know God's word in part. Therefore, God has to be illuminating men like Paul, like Peter, like John, like Matthew to be writing the Bible. Because we don't have the whole Bible yet. We know in part. The Bible isn't complete. So God is saying, we know in part and we prophesy in part. We don't have it all yet. But when that which is perfect, the whole canon of Scripture, when the Bible is completely written, when that which is perfect, the Bible has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. There is no more need for God to illuminate a man with more revelation. We as believers are illuminated by the Holy Spirit to truth, but what it is truth that's already in the Scriptures. He's already given us. It's for us to understand it. But there is no need for God to illuminate me today and start to add to the Scriptures. God does not do that. It's done. When that which is perfect, we have the canon. We have it all. You hold it in your hand, the Word of God to man. And so it is when that which is perfect. So there's no more need for these sign gifts. I'm not going to come up anymore and say, guess what? You got a Holy Spirit. That message is already given. It doesn't have to verify the messenger anymore. It's been established. I don't have to be able to go heal somebody because the message has already come. Believe the Word of God. It is the divine Word of God. It's not one man saying, hey, guess what, you know, and some divine revelation. No, we already have it in the Scripture. There's no more need for me to be able to give some dynamic message and God verifies it with a sign. It's over. Those things are done away. There used to be a need for revelation, but now the Bible's complete. The message is established. And once the message is established, we don't need it. Remember Hebrews 2:3 on your verse sheet there. Take a look at it. Verse 4, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders. He bore witness. He said, I will give my messenger a verification. But now that his message is out, there's no more need to verify it. Therefore, sign gifts are not for today, for the words are confirmed already. Concluding thoughts on spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are, as the name indicates, they are gifts from the Spirit to every believer to enable them to be useful to God. Your spiritual gift will enhance your natural abilities. But we all have different natural abilities. Some people are incredible athletes. Some are more academically inclined. Some are more to the arts. Those are not spiritual gifts. They're natural abilities, certainly that came through your genes. And certainly anything we have comes from God. But now God takes and gives you a spiritual gift now that you're a Christian. And He can take maybe the artistic side of you. Some of you are going to be more inclined to take to arts and crafts. Some of you are going to be more skilled in teaching. It doesn't mean anybody is better than anybody else. Some of you are going to be more people-oriented, although we all ought to be people-oriented. You're going to be more a bean counter, right? To do the books at the church. There's nothing wrong with that. But once you have a gift of the Holy Spirit, He takes whatever your natural ability is, and boy, does that have an ability on steroids, and does great things with it. I want you to understand this. A spiritual gift does not make a person spiritual. What if you don't use your spiritual gift? It's worthless. First and foremost, the believer is to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but Christian, be filled with the Spirit. Then, cooperate with the Spirit. Verse 30 of Ephesians 4, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Continue to work in the cooperation. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, don't quench this Spirit. And work with the Spirit. In Galatians 5:16, this I say, walk in the Spirit. And this is our responsibility, and He then takes and enhances this gift and marries it with our natural abilities, and you have a dynamic ministry for God. That cooperation with the believer makes you very useful, and God can use that for His ordained purpose, why He planted you, where He planted you, as He planted you. The Spirit and His power is essential to spiritual success. Even Jesus ministered in the power of the Spirit, Isaiah 11:1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And put that together with John 1:32, and John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, Jesus. Jesus Christ needed to minister in the Spirit. If He needed to minister in the Spirit, so do we. And He has given that incredible power to us. Therefore, we must diligently apply ourselves to exercise, develop, and use our spiritual gifts. That's why it helps if you know it. If you don't know it, get busy with the things you do and things will start to blossom. Consider services for others. 1 Timothy 4:14. Timothy, neglect not the gift that's in thee. Don't neglect it. It is possible to neglect it. Which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands by the presbytery, the people. Meditate on these things. Give yourself wholly to your gifts and your service, that thy profiting may appear to all. It's not for yourself, Timothy. It's for other people. Further consider 2 Timothy 1:6. Paul says to Timothy, wherefore I, Paul, put thee, Timothy, in remembrance, stir up the gift of God which is in thee. Timothy was faltering in the ministry, and he's saying, come on, start to exercise your gifts. Let's go. Quote, most young people are fond of athletics, and the Roman and Greek youth were especially addicted to them. The divine Spirit does not undervalue any of these means for keeping our physical health vigorous. But if we pay such earnest attention to these things, we ought all the more to give attention to godliness, which disciplines the soul for eternal life. We all know what is to discover and bring them into play, certain muscles of the body which had not previously been used. Are we equally keen to discover the hidden properties and resources of the soul and spirit? I didn't know I could do that. Believe me, the first message that I did 40 years ago, no one would think I could speak. Now, I don't claim to be best, but I'm not stupid. I do believe God has given me the ability to stand in front of a crowd and open His Word. That doesn't mean I'm arrogant and proud about it. The second I do that, God's going to be pretty nasty with me. But you're allowed to know your gift, and you're allowed to know, yes, I can help there. I can do that. That's okay. But it's for other people. Timothy was gifted in various ways, but especially for public ministry in the epistle 1 and 2 Timothy. The apostle bids him to stir up, fan the flame. The fire may be well provided with coal and heat. Light may be present, but the poker needs to be used to let in the air. We may have gifts, but we must carefully practice the duties in which they can be used for the benefit of others. It becomes us all to give ourselves to the duties which lie immediately in our hands, not shirking from them. We must not give part of our thought and care to appointed tasks, but give our whole selves. What our hands find to do must be done with our might. Just as men built arches of brick over slight structures of wood, and when these were taken away, the substantial material remains. So on the passing duties of an hour, we are building up habits and character that will live forever. What we do is comparatively unimportant, but how we do what we do is all important. We must always be on guard, always be alert, for we have in our hands the interests of others as well as our own. Don't neglect your gift. It wasn't given to you to take it home and sit on the couch. 1 Timothy 4:16, come on, Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It's for other people. And you say, wait a minute, Timothy's not saved? No, read it in the context. Save yourself a whole lot of headaches in life if you do what God has for you to do. Save does not always refer to the saving of the soul for eternal salvation. You can save yourself a lot of headaches when you do things God's way. So it is. Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has several. Don't neglect it. Use it, and remember, it's not for you, it's for other people. Well, we've covered a lot of territory on the Holy Spirit because the work of the Holy Spirit has significantly changed from the law to today. We have a fellowship with God. He is literally dwelling in us through the Spirit. They had a structure they called a temple. We're the temple. Can we come to grips with that? The God of all creation is dwelling in us. If they were supposed to be holy, we need to keep our temple holy also. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, exercise your gift, and watch God bless.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.